preface, we read of the importance of control of the mind and senses, and in the first text, the importance of controlling six vegas. What are those vegas?
Speech.
Hmm? Speech.
Mind.
Anger. Six. In the second text, we talked about six activities that spoil devotional service. What are they? Overeating, over-collecting, over-endeavoring, prajalpa. Neglecting the rules and regulations, or neglecting the rules and regulations, or alternatively, following for the sake of following, right? Okay, and then Janasanga, bad association, and greed. Okay, sadvir bhaktir vinashyati. Now in this text, text 3, we learn of the things that establish devotional service. Utsaha nishtrayat dharyat tattat karma pravartana sangatyagat sato vrite shadvir bhakti prasidhyati. Srila Prabhupada begins with a discussion of what devotional service is. I especially like these opening lines. They're really gems. Devotional service is not a matter of sentimental speculation or imaginative ecstasy. Its substance is practical activity. Really good. There's a lot in there. Not a matter of sentimental speculation or imaginative ecstasy. Just the opposite of what people think. Bhakti is for people of the heart. And Gyan is for people of the head. That's the stereotype. But here Srila Prabhupada indicates that not at all. It's not simply sentimental speculation or imaginative ecstasy. Srila Prabhupada subtitled Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, A Treatise in Practical Spiritual Life. A treatise on practical spiritual life. It's not just sentiment, and it's not just imaginative ecstasy. Who's into imaginative ecstasy? The sahajas. Oh, Krishna is talking with me. It's all projection. They cook something up in the mind and groove on it. They enjoy the imaginative scripts that they write. But real devotional service, following in the footsteps of Srila Rupa Goswami, is neither speculative nor imaginative. Its substance is practical activity. There's a real program of things to do. There are rules to be followed. There are practical engagements. We read that the 64 items of devotional service are meant to engage all the activities of one's body, mind, and words in relationship to Krishna. That's practical. So Prabhupada really opens this up beautifully by explaining devotional service in that way. It's not just something airy-fairy. It's down to earth, practical, substantial, and active. Then Prabhupada continues with the definition of devotional service. What's Srila Rupa Goswami's definition of devotional service?
Yes.
That's it. It's a kind of cultivation, anushilanam. And Prabhupada again makes the same point. Cultivation of spirituality does not mean sitting down idly for meditation, as some pseudo-yogis teach. Again, the same point, that it's not just sitting down and imagining, I am the light of the sun. I am the source of the light of the moon. I am one with all beings. I am a drop. I am becoming the ocean. It's not that. Not just sitting down, imagining some wonderful thoughts for 15 or 20 minutes or an hour, and then going back to work. Material world. And materialistic activities. It's not that. It's practical activity. It doesn't mean sitting down idly. That idle meditation may be good for those who have no information of devotional service. So it's sometimes recommended as a means of stopping distracting material activities. Okay, sit down here and meditate. You're just like a child who's doing some nonsense. Sit down here and don't do anything for the next 5 minutes, okay? Okay. But you can't sustain that. And it's not the real business. The real business is positive activity. So devotional service not only stops your nonsense, but engages one in meaningful devotional activities. I take it that Prabhupada is probably referring here, or has in mind here, anartha and artha. Anartha means what? What's anartha? Unwanted activities. What does artha mean? Yeah, it means something that's valuable. No, that's rather a general, too general. Sense gratification? No. Artha means, first of all, value. Artha also means meaning. Ityartha, in the commentaries, when the acharyas explain some verse, they'll give their commentary and they'll say ityartha. Thus the meaning is there. Artha means meaning. So activities that, let me think if there are other meanings. Artha, value, meaning. Yeah. I'm sure there are other meanings, but that'll do. So if something's anartha, that means it's useless. It has no value. Or it's anti-value. It's against what's valuable. Or anartha, meaningless. Meaningless. If you're doing some, you know, nonsense. What is nonsense? It means it has no sense. It's meaningless. People, the world is engaged in meaningless activities. Activities that have no value. Tadapi adruvam artadam. Prahlad Maharaj says, although the human life is very short, adruvam, artadam, it gives value. It gives meaning. And if one doesn't use the human life for self-realization, he's throwing away the value. He's missing the point. He's losing the opportunity to have a meaningful life, and he's leading a meaningless life. Anartha. Then from that anartha comes to be all sorts of superfluous. It's not the real, doesn't get down to the meaning. Meaningless, superfluous, superficial. And also, it comes down to anartha being unwanted activity. What's an unwanted activity? If it doesn't help us in Krishna consciousness, it's unwanted. Therefore, Prabhupada was talking in the previous verse, fishing, playing cards, reading newspaper. What's so bad about fishing? What's so bad? Oh, well, fishing, okay. But what's so bad about reading the newspaper or playing a crossword puzzle? Is that so terrible? But it's meaningless. It has no value. And the clock is ticking. Therefore, it's unwanted. Even if it's not vicious, playing cards, but it's wasting your valuable human form of life. So, Prabhupada said that Krishna consciousness not only puts an end to all nonsensical, mundane activities, but engages one in meaningful devotional service, artadham. Gives real meaning to life. Then Prabhupada mentions the 9 activities of devotional service, which I won't quiz you on, I know you all know them. And he gives importance, discussing hearing, the first item, one has to hear from the right person, not from nonsense rascals. And there Prabhupada emphasizes the importance of approaching a bona fide spiritual master. Tadvidi pranipatena pariprashnena sevya upadeshanti te gyanam gyaninas tatpadarshanaha. And yes, tadvigyanartam sa guru meva abhigachet. There's that artha word again. Tadvigyanartha. Vigyan means? Realized knowledge. And artha means? Value. Meaning. To get the value, to get the meaning of self-realization. Saguru meva digashcheta. One must approach a bona fide spiritual master. Tadvigyan artha. Saguru meva digashcheta. And one has to receive the confidential knowledge submissively. It's not just a matter of mental speculation. In other words, it's not just by figuring it out, by being smart, but it's by following the process. All these elements are needed to hear, to inquire, to serve, to surrender. Brahmanda Brahmite Kon Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhaktilata Beach. A fortunate person comes in touch with a pure devotee and begins to hear and follow the path of devotional service. And that's where ISKCON comes in. Prabhupada says it gives such a chance to humanity at large. Then Prabhupada, therefore, because it's such a valuable opportunity, one should accept it enthusiastically. That's our first item. Utsaha. Enthusiasm. Utsaha. Prabhupada explains utsaha a couple pages later by saying, endeavor executed with intelligence in Krishna consciousness is called utsaha. Enthusiasm. In Srila Prabhupada's last days, Giriraj Maharaj tells us that Prabhupada asked, how will this movement go on? How will this movement go on? And Giriraj Maharaj said, essentially, we have to be sincere, Srila Prabhupada. We have to be sincere. And Prabhupada said, sincere and intelligent. In other words, it's not just that because your heart's in the right place. But you have to be intelligent also. Intelligent doesn't mean that your mind is working 24 hours a day coming up with all sorts of concoctions. But it means that you're following the path chalked out by the acharyas and using your intelligence for that. So endeavor has to be there. It's not just sitting idly, meditating. But the endeavor should be intelligently executed and not just intelligent, but Krishna consciously intelligent. And that's enthusiasm. Not uninformed sentimental activity, not inactivity, but activity aimed at pleasing Krishna and properly carried out. Prabhupada then has a brief mention of using everything in Krishna's service. That's also intelligent. And again, Prabhupada says that it's not a matter of idle meditation, but practical action in the foreground of spiritual life. Prabhupada is making this point again and again. It's not inaction. It's not sentimentality. It's not speculation. It's practical action. It's practical action in spiritual life. In Narada Bhakti Sutra, Srila Prabhupada explains, a living entity cannot stop acting. So when he's forbidden to become enthusiastic about material achievements, he should at once be encouraged to be enthusiastic about spiritual achievements. Enthusiasm is a symptom of the living entity. It cannot be stopped. It's just like a powerful engine. If you utilize it properly, it will give immense production. Therefore, enthusiasm should be purified. Instead of employing enthusiasm for attaining material goals, one should be enthusiastic about achieving the perfectional stage of devotional service. Indeed, enthusing his devotees in devotional service is the purpose for which Krishna descends to this material world. It's inherent here, implied here, that when Srila Rupa Goswami talks about becoming enthusiastic in spiritual life, he also means becoming unenthusiastic. In spiritual life, he means unenthusiastic about material life. We should lose that enthusiasm. In fact, it's mentioned again in Narada Bhakti Sutra. Notsahi bhavati. He becomes unenthusiastic. When one becomes advanced in spiritual life, he becomes unenthusiastic about material life. And Prabhupada quotes, I think, later, Sanashana Sarvabhutana. Someplace he quotes that. Yeah. Yanashana Sarvabhutana. What's day for the enlightened person is night for the materialist, and vice versa. So we're becoming unenthusiastic. Jnana karma dhyanavritam. Oh, I don't care about mental speculation anymore. I don't care about fruitive activities anymore. Hell with them. But that doesn't mean becoming zero. That's the Mayavadis. They lose their enthusiasm for material life, and there's nothing in spiritual life really but speculation, meditation, and a kind of bitter negation of everything. So this is not that. This is enthusiasm. The Acharyas recommend that one should be enthusiastic to carry out the rules and regulations of bhakti. And Prabhupada mentions on page 31, it's not that one has to narrow or confine one's activities. It's not that one has to narrow or confine one's activities. Someplace it's...
Third line.
Third line. Yeah, there it is, right. But under the direction of the spiritual master, one has to use everything in Krishna's service. Okay. What's the opposite of enthusiasm?
Disparagement.
Disparagement, yeah. Well, disparagement is not exactly the opposite of enthusiasm, but it'll kill enthusiasm. Yeah, lethargy. In Bhagavad Gita, Ayukta prakrita stabta shato naiskritiko lashaha vishadi dhirga sutricha karta tamasu uchate. This is the work of a person in the mode of ignorance. Let's find it actually. Yeah. Ayukta means not following Krishna's directions, not following the directions of Shastra. Prakrita means materialistic, and stabda means stubborn and obstinate. And naiskritiko, expert in insulting others. This is the qualification. In Kali Yuga, a person is considered something to be courageous or virtuous if he's arrogant. You know, if he's an upstart, a loudmouth, a big shot, then he's considered to be something in Kali Yuga. Naiskritiko, he's expert in criticizing others. That's actually the qualification of the mode of ignorance. But in Kali Yuga, it's considered a virtue. The art of the put down. You know, how expert you were in sticking it in him. Therefore we have that expression, in your face. Expert in insulting others. Vishadi, alasaha means lazy, and vishadi, morose. And Dirgha Sutri, I love this word, Dirgha Sutri. Sutri means having a thread. Sutra means thread, means thread literally. And Dirgha Sutri, what is Dirgha Sutri? Means having a long thread. And it's, the word means procrastinating. They string everything out for a long, you're like a kite on a long string. Oh, I can do it Tuesday. Oh, I can do it Friday. Oh, it can wait till next month. Dirgha Sutri, putting everything off. So this is the mode of ignorance. Morose, lazy, go to hell. And the opposite is enthusiasm. Okay. Any questions about utsaha? Well, therefore, it's very important to promote enthusiasm and not kill enthusiasm. Yes. What is over enthusiastic?
Something is good, but then things are like doing it in too extreme way. Enthusiasm can actually mean an extreme way other than.
Over enthusiasm means enthusiasm which is not properly directed. You can't have too much enthusiasm. But when the enthusiasm is not properly directed or informed, then it's a problem. You know, I'm enthusiastic to do something, but I'm not enthusiastic to consider the consequences of what I'm doing. That's activity in the mode of passion. The monkeys are terribly enthusiastic. You go to Vrindavan, they're enthusiastic like anything, you know. They'll break up anything, tear up anything, bite. You name it, they'll do it. But there's not a whole lot of intelligence plugged in there.
I heard once, like, enthusiasm without patience is passion, and enthusiasm with patience is sattva-guna.
That sounds good.
Is right?
Yeah, without patience, just enthusiasm. Yeah, if you're enthusiastic, and then as soon as you run up against a wall, oh, forget it. We'll come up, we'll find in the coming qualities why that, you know, what, how that should be balanced out. You know, all enthusiastic for 5 minutes. That's not going to help us a whole lot. So it's a kind of sustained enthusiasm that comes from the mode of goodness. There's enthusiasm in the mode of passion, but as soon as you meet an obstacle or whatever, then it's finished. Or you're enthusiastic, but you're enthusiastic for sense gratification. That's not what's wanted. Anything else? Okay, nistraya. Nistraya means fixed opinion, confidence, conviction, certainty, positiveness, resolve, fixed intention. These are different meanings of nishchay. And here it's taken to mean the confidence that one is convinced that engagement in devotional service is the real business of life. And that simply by devotional service one will achieve everything. I don't need to divert myself to karma kanda activities or jnana kanda activities. Shraddha shabde vishvas kohe sudridhanishchay krishne bhakti koila sarva karma pitohai. This is Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is called faith. To have strong conviction that krishne bhakti koila sarva karma pitohai. Simply by serving Krishna, I'm doing everything. Vedeshu yageshu tapasu chayava daneshu yat punya palam pradishtam. In the Bhagavad Gita. That the yogi surpasses, the devotee surpasses all the results of Vedic study, performing yajnas, performing tapasya, giving charity. He gets all the results of that and more. Yogi param sthanam upaiti shajam. He goes back to Godhead. So this is confidence that I simply have to serve Krishna. I simply have to serve Krishna. And that confidence develops in the association of devotees. In Narada Bhakti Sutra again it says that when one becomes disappointed in service to the Lord, that disappointment must be rejected and replaced with confidence in attaining the ultimate goal of love of Godhead. We read that in Ashabandha. What is that Ashabandha we discussed in Nectar of Devotion? Quality of ecstasy, devotional service and ecstasy. Yes?
That means hope against confidence. Even if it's completely hopeless, you definitely follow and you're sure that you'll get the mercy.
Yeah. Rupa Goswami says, I have no good, I'm not even born in a good family, I don't have the pre-qualifications, I'm not this, I'm not that. But still, because I have this determination to engage in devotional service. Prabhupada explains, Ashabandha means to think that because I'm following the regulative principles of devotional service, I'm sure that I'll go back home, back to God. That confidence. Without that confidence, simply what comes then instead of confidence? Doubt. Sure. And what happens when you've got doubt? Agyascha shradhanascha samshayatma vinashyati. Then you're finished. Nayam lokosti na paro na sukham samshayatma. Then you're not going to be happy in this life or in the next life. Just doubt, doubt, doubt. There has to be some, for action, there has to be enthusiasm and some confidence. Not because I'm doing the right thing, because I'm properly guided, properly directed, I'm acting with enthusiasm, if I have some confidence, I'll get there. Sanishtrayena yoktavyo yogo nirvinna chetasa. In the Bhagavad Gita, with determination and faith, one has to practice bhakti yoga. Okay? Any question there? Moving on. Dhairya. What's the root word for dhairya? Dhira. Dhira satchunamurti. Dhira. Firmness, constancy, calmness, patience, gravity. Dhira. What's the first verse? Etan vegan yo vishaheta dhira. A sober person can control these pushing agents. So there's patience, because I'm confident that I'm following the right method, that if I continue in this way, by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, I'll be successful. So therefore I can be patient. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, Krishna must be merciful to me either today or after 100 years or in some other birth. I will take shelter of his lotus feet with determination and never leave. This type of dharya, patience, is most desirable for the practitioners of devotional service. I'm not sure that I'm going to get the result, so let me stick to it. I'm sure. In any enterprise, if you're sure, and even if it takes some time, you'll stick with it. I'm sure it's the right thing. I've looked into it. I know what it is. I'm enthusiastic about it. I'm just going to stick to it. If I don't win today, I'll win tomorrow, because it's the right formula. If you're confident about some medical treatment, you stick with it. It doesn't matter that I didn't recover in 6 hours. I'll continue. Prabhupada gives some examples. One is the young bride. If a girl gets married, and, hey, I'm married, where's my child? What's the use of being married if I don't have a child? Well, you know, hold on. Because you're married, you serve your husband patiently, and certainly you'll get a child, but it doesn't happen, you know, overnight. But be patient, certainly you'll get a child. And the other example Prabhupada gives, a little obliquely, not obliquely, says that in his own starting of the Krishna consciousness movement, it required patience. It's not that he came to America and, you know, the brass band was waiting to play in his honor, and the dignitaries stepped forward to offer him garlands. He wound up, you know, with the bums on the Lower East Side and hardly any money and not much response. And then when they started responding, you know, what kind of people are these that are responding? But Prabhupada was patient and continued his program of activities, and it came out successful. In Narada Bhakti Sutra, in the purport to the Prabhupada, there's the purport, text 5, I think, where it glosses a couple of verses of nectar of instruction. Prabhupada said, the devotee should patiently follow the rules and regulations of devotional service, so that the day will come when he will achieve, all of a sudden, all the perfection of devotional service. That day will come. He should not lament for any loss or any reverse in his advancement in spiritual life. Not, oh no, I might as well give it up. That was mentioned just before, that if he gets that feeling of moroseness and dejection, he should give it up and replace it with confidence and patience. He should not lament for any loss or any reverse. This patience, dharya, is the third positive item for advancing in devotional service. Dharya also means determination. And the example is given of Haridas Thakur, Kanda Kanda Hoy Deha Jai Yari Pran Tabu Ami Bodhane Na Chari Harina. Even if my body is cut to pieces and the life air leaves my body, I'll never abandon the chanting of Hare Krishna. And they were ready to do it. They were beating him in so many marketplaces. They were threatening him. They were beating him. I didn't do what you want. I'm not going to give up chanting Hare Krishna. You may beat the life out of me, but I'm not going to stop chanting. That's determined, yeah. How many of us are devotees in the former Soviet Union? They were tortured. One of those devotees was telling me they injected something in them so that, you know, you couldn't sit down, you couldn't sit still, you couldn't do anything, it takes over your body, practically speaking, and doing all sorts of things, injecting drugs and just making life so miserable for them. You're, first of all, everybody wants freedom, and you're stuck in some jail or mental hospital, and then they're doing whatever they want to you, and all you have to do is give up Krishna consciousness and everything will change, and they're stuck to it. Determination. The authorities took their books. Did you see that video? The marvelous video where the news came in some Western media that the government had passed a law allowing the importation of books. As things were starting to open up a little bit in Glasnost, then they allowed that, all right, you can import books. So immediately the devotees in the BBT printed a huge number of Russian books and sent them in trucks to Moscow. And at the border, they hadn't heard about the law. So they held them up. And somehow they got through, but then the books were impounded in Moscow. They're just, the authorities wouldn't let go of them. And they're just giving them the typical bureaucratic no. Prabhupada said, I hate bureaucracy. The only business of the bureaucracy is to say no. So that's what they were doing. They were saying no. Even though the law said yes, the bureaucrats, old style bureaucrats, were saying no. And the devotees were going there, and even one devotee said, you're a dinosaur. You don't stand for the law. You're just calling them nonsense rascals to their face. And then they held a vigil outside, and they were doing kirtan and had banners. We want our books. And finally, the authorities released the books. And from those books, everything started. So many, containers full of books, containers and containers. From those books, everything starts.
Yeah.
I don't know the year. You'd have to ask someone else. Back in 89 or something.
In Gorbachev's days.
You want to spread Krishna consciousness in Russia, you have to have a lot of patience and determination. You want to spread Krishna consciousness anywhere, you have to have. But especially where you have a difficult government, or demonic government that just wants to stop you. And we can think of several European countries at the moment, one in particular.
I just wanted to say, actually, there's one example of their determination chant. They made the rosary, japa from bread.
They're in they're locked up, and naturally the authorities take away their beads, but they were getting some bread, so they took the bread and made beads out of the bread, and they're chanting on those beads. Ahitakiya pratiyata, devotional service can't be stopped. So there's a whole history there. So, and many histories, devotees in different parts of the world who've shown great determination to distribute books, to preach, to chant, to follow the process of devotional service, even when there's some temptations or adverse circumstances or disappointments. Prabhupada, in this Bombay affair we were talking about yesterday, supreme determination. Okay. Anything else? We are moving on. tat tat karma pravartana. Tat tat karma pravartana means the various activities favorable for devotional service. That's what tat tat karma means. Tat tat means it's like this and that, all these kinds. Tat tat means this and this and this and this and this. So all the various activities anukul, which are favorable for devotional service, pravartanat, by performing them. But one should strictly follow, Prabhupada makes the point here, that one should strictly follow the four regulative principles. And then chanting 16 rounds a day. These regulative activities must be faithfully performed with enthusiasm. This is called tat tat karma pravartana, or varied engagement in devotional service. We read in Nectar of Devotion about the things to avoid and the things to do. 64 items of devotional service. A devotee must be very enthusiastic about following these principles, the four principles in chanting. If he becomes slack in following any of them, his progress will certainly be checked. So this is enthusiasm. Enthusiasm in following our prescribed duties. The enthusiasm is not just random enthusiasm. But it's enthusiasm. Prabhupada said practical activity. So it's enthusiasm directed toward practical activity. And these are the basic practical activities, to follow the rules and regulations, positive and negative. Prabhupada wrote a letter back in 1972 to Karandra Prabhu, who was a leading devotee at that time. So my point is that the regulative principles must be followed by everyone. Otherwise, their enthusiasm dwindles. And they again think of sex and become restless. And so many problems are there. There is some symptom of missing the point. The point is to be engaged in doing something for Krishna. Never mind what is that job, but being so engaged in doing something very much satisfying to the devotee that he remains always enthusiastic. He will automatically follow the regulative principles because they are part of his occupational duty. By applying them practically as his occupational duty, he realizes the happy result of regulative principles. So the future of this Krishna consciousness movement is very bright. So long the managers remain vigilant that 16 rounds are being chanted by everyone without fail, that they are all rising before 4 in the morning, attending Mangalarti, our leaders shall be careful not to kill the spirit of enthusiastic service, which is individual and spontaneous and voluntary. They should try always to generate some atmosphere of fresh challenge to the devotees, so that they will agree enthusiastically to rise and meet it. That is the art of management, to draw out spontaneous, loving spirit of sacrificing some energy for Krishna. Very important letter. Very important letter. Enthusiasm comes from following the regulative principles. And if the enthusiasm drops, if we neglect the regulative principles, then enthusiasm drops. Then number one item Prabhupada mentions, sex. Thinking of sex. And then restlessness. Prabhupada, when he saw that symptom of restlessness, you know, devotees, Srila Prabhupada, I'm not happy in New York. Is it all right if I can go to Chicago? Prabhupada, I'm not happy in Chicago. Could I go to Detroit? Srila Prabhupada, I've been here for 3 months in Chicago, in Detroit, but it's not really, doesn't seem to be so good. Could I go to Los Angeles? Prabhupada saw that restlessness as a symptom of sex desire. The mind is dissatisfied. So I'm looking for sex. Can I try this, try that, go here, go there? But why is my mind dissatisfied? Because I'm thinking of sex. Why am I thinking of sex? Because I'm not fully engaged. Why am I not fully engaged? Well, basically, right at the beginning, because I'm not following the regulative principles. I'm not hearing and chanting and getting up early in the morning and engaging in the worship of the deity and all of those things that purify the heart and engage the mind. So instead I'm moping around and thinking of sex and then restlessness and problems and so many problems. There's some symptom of missing the point. Then Prabhupada says the point is always to be doing something for Krishna. And that the art of management, and Prabhupada said if they're doing something always for Krishna that's satisfying, they'll be enthusiastic. If I'm engaged in something that I like to do, naturally I'll be enthusiastic. If I've got something that's inspiring, that's, you know, then I'll want to do it. Because I, in connection with that, I'll automatically want to follow the four regular principles because it's part of my program. You know, if I don't get up, you like the book distributors, we have to get up early in the morning and chant and get powerful rounds done so that we'll have potency to go out and distribute books. The regular principles are part and parcel of the book distribution engagement. We have to be pure so that we can edit these books or whatever it is that we have to do. So then we have to follow the regular principle to worship the deity. We have to be. So then the regular principles, Prabhupada said, automatically follow because they're part of his occupational duty. And by following them, he becomes happy. He realizes the happy result. Therefore, the managers have to be very careful, first of all, not to kill the spirit of enthusiastic service, spontaneous and individual and voluntary. Also, to see that everyone's following the regular principles, which will engender enthusiasm. And also to give impetus to further enthusiasm by setting some challenging goals. Prabhupada would do that. So now you're distributing this many books, I think you can double it. How could you double it? And everybody becomes double engaged. They thought they were engaged, well now they're really engaged because they have to double it. Prabhupada told us one time we were producing a book every 2 months. He told us we had to produce 16 books in 2 months. Some fresh challenge must always be there. This is the art of management. To draw out the spontaneous love, not to kill it with rules and regulations and bureaucracy but to promote that spontaneous enthusiasm and at the same time seeing that everyone is strictly following the rules and regulations. Yes?
Maharaj, can you give some practical example of killing?
Killing?
Yes, from our people.
Someone want to give an example of how to kill enthusiasm?
Happened to me.
Okay, let's hear it.
In Croatia, last year, seven of us were suspended by Croatian National Council because we had we had whole set of we point out some misbehavior actually or some mistakes which management made, and we had actually were ready it was not a revolution but would make actually someone to give a fresh input for the yatra, which was getting swayed by bureaucracy,
Bureaucracy is really expert at killing enthusiasm.
We were the moment was recognized, actually, that was the point. And then, you know, there was a, you know, few devotees felt, how to say, some fear, you know, that this will lead, actually, you know, somewhere else, not in the development of the movement. And so we just point out to you, and we had ideas how to improve the things, but instead of, you know, dialogue and discussing this, we were suspended. There were some more things.
As soon as there's some difference, snuff it out. Make sure everything's uniform and cookie cutter. I was talking with Sadhguru the other day. This is something that gets on his nerves. That there's some, you know, local people who'll come, and they'll, you know, they don't know what exactly how we're set up and how we do things, and they'll do something which is a little bit not according to our way of doing things, and immediately there's some brahmachari there, you know, like some Mataji will, you know, will come up to the front, she'll cross a line or something, and she'll be, you know, with great devotion, offering obeisances, you know, offering respect to the deity, and some brahmachari will see she's on the wrong side. Oh, Mataji, Mataji! You know, the lady is enthusiastic to offer some devotion to Krishna, and, you know, because she stepped, you know, she's 2 inches too far to the right, or 1 foot too far to the left, or, you know, it's 4:02, and then, you know, at 4:02 everybody has to, you know, go to the back or go to the front. You know, you just kill someone's, you know, just where there was a nice taste, you turn it into ashes by your, you know, too many rules and regulations. Not to say that we should have anarchy, that everybody should do whatever they want, but sometimes you have to look and see, well, wait a second, this person has some enthusiasm. That should not be killed. And Prabhupada in so many ways accepted service that was, you know, maybe not exactly regular or not exactly to the standard of what you would expect in Vedic civilization. But if someone was enthusiastic, then Prabhupada would encourage them. I mean, not unlimitedly. If you're enthusiastic to do some nonsense and Prabhupada is encouraging you. But he would try to encourage devotees, not kill that enthusiasm. Even if they were doing the wrong thing, Prabhupada would say, better than doing this is doing this. You know, same idea, but little, you know, purified, reformed. Not kill that, the spirit. But deal with the person in such a way that even if he's told no, he's given an alternative. That will be not just an alternative, like I remember there was a time some people were considered some sort of threat or some sort of, they were out of line, and they were given alternatives that you can work under such and such person, whoever was the person that under no circumstances would they ever in a million years work under. So if you're sincere, you can work under him. Well, what outcome do you expect? They became disheartened and, you know, forget it. That's how you lose people. People need to see some bright future, some hope, some opportunity. At the same time that they're not just given free rein to do any kind of foolishness. And sometimes, you know, we do want to kill someone's enthusiasm. We just want to get that person out of here as fast as possible because he's really evil. You know, he's a Mayavadi or a child molester or, you know, I mean, we've got serious things that we deal with sometimes. We do. It's not that we never say no, because Prabhupada was so loving and he accepted everything and he accepted people as they were and all this, you know, impossible nonsense. Prabhupada was very critical. Prabhupada was very discerning. Prabhupada was not all permissive and all accepting. But he would try to do things in such a way as to encourage a person's natural enthusiasm in some legitimate form of devotional service. Yes?
How to be a person who, like, for example, who has enthusiasm
on a wrong direction, like someone a grihastha who wants to come out of his family life, but it's not the time for him to come out.
Yeah, well then the enthusiasm should be redirected. I know that you're enthusiastic about leaving householder life, even though you just got married 6 months ago. That's usually the time people become enthusiastic. But you should redirect your enthusiasm. You know, I was enthusiastic in my householder life. I was publishing Back to Godhead. I was doing so many things, so you can also do that. It's not that that householder life means now stopping the preaching. You should be, now you're married, you should have twice as much energy for preaching. In that some way, give some engagement, give some mission. Not that just as soon as someone is enthusiastic about something, well, that must be right because he's enthusiastic about it. No. At Kurma Brahman, he was enthusiastic to get out of householder life. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said no. Instead, but Jai Dakotai Ka Krishna Dinesh, wherever you go, wherever you meet, speak to him about Krishna.
Maharaj, in the seminar, Unity and Perversity, you spoke about these two models of the prophet and the priest, like how the prophet is inspiring other people to engage in devotional service, and the priest, out of his high position and hierarchy, is more like putting pressure and with the rules and regulations.
Well, you always have these two forces working. The force toward innovation and expansion and entrepreneurial enterprise, and the force toward standardization, regularity, standards. And both have their value. It's not that we just want to spread willy-nilly, and the accounts aren't kept properly, and the regular principles aren't followed, and we don't know what kind of people are coming in and out of the temple, and they're breaking the laws of the state, and they're doing every kind of thing, but they're enthusiastic, and we don't want to. So there has to be some energy directed toward standards. That we need to have proper accounts kept here. We need to have some standard of who joins and who doesn't. We need to have some standard as to what principles these people follow, and so many things. There needs to be, the standards are very important. And at the same time, if it's all standards and no entrepreneurial spirit, no enthusiasm, no feeling of ownership and freedom and ability to innovate and try new things and different things, then it just becomes dull routine. It just becomes plodding. It just becomes plodding, you know, pedestrian. So you need to have some open space, open territory, open some freedom, some trust given to people. That, you know, give them a chance, let them do something. Prabhupada would do that. He would take, your name is such and such, I want you to start a temple in. You know, just initiate somebody and send them out. I think you can, your name is such and such, I think you can start a temple in, you know, such and such place. He sent those householders to London. He sent some other devotees to Germany. He sent someone to Tokyo. He sent someone here. He sent someone there. You know, what kind of training did they have? You know, they hadn't done their bhakti shastri. They hadn't done a 6 months temple management course. But they were a little bit trained. enthusiastic, Prabhupada sent them out. One of my godbrothers says he'd like to do a book called The Entrepreneurial Prabhupada. In business, this is, you know, there are business people who will maintain a business very nicely, and then there are entrepreneurs, you know, who'll start from nothing and develop just by their, you know, enthusiasm and smarts and their spirit of enterprise. Krishna says that's one of the qualities of Krishna, enterprise. Jayosmi vyavasayosmi. Enterprise represents Krishna. So this spirit of enterprise should not be lost. Otherwise we'll have a movement which is dull. It will never do anything new. It will never try anything different. It will just copy what has been done elsewhere. It will, whatever has shown itself to be somewhat successful in other places, will be copied in the next place. Okay, first I do A, then I do B, then I do C, then I do D. Okay, it didn't work, but anyway, I'll try it again. I'll do A, I'll do B, I'll do C, do D. Well, I'm not getting any result, but I'm doing the right thing. A, B, C, D. And he never, you know, looks at depression and says, wait a second, that was, you know, in a downtown city someplace. I'm on a college campus. Maybe A, B, C, D is not what you do here. Or that was on a college campus. This is in a city. Maybe that's not what you do here. Or this, that was in Germany. This is Greece. Maybe we do it different here. Maybe for Tokyo we don't do the same thing that we do in Melbourne. You know, what's going to work here? If I want to preach to scientists, or I want to preach to intellectuals, or I want to preach to rainbow people, or I want to preach to revolutionary women, if you're a woman. That, let the revolutionary women preach to the revolutionary women. You know, any market that you want to reach, you know, you may want to think about how's the best way to reach these people. And it may not be by doing what you saw done in Kansas. It may not be the same thing that everybody else is already doing. Maybe it needs something not, you know, against our principles, but the principles may need to be repackaged. Prabhupada said, old wine in a new bottle. So there is such a thing as going overboard with that, so that the wine is no longer the same wine either. Well, we're doing a new bottle. How about new wine too? No. But a little bit of packaging, a little bit of innovation, a little bit of enterprise can go a long way. Not just doing the same thing that everybody else is doing. And if you look at some of our successful preachers, you'll see that they're sometimes, that's why they're successful. They're doing something different. And Devamrita Maharaj, you know, he's got some different idea, and people come. And you can think of other, you know, devotees who've tried something, you know, different approach. And hey, they got results. Bhakti Tirtha Swami, maximum innovation. You're completely entrepreneurial, thinking in a different way, some way, but always how to get people to become Krishna conscious, how to get them to chant Hare Krishna, how to get them to follow these regular principles, how to get them to engage in devotional service. Not something bogus, not the, you know, but you know, the bait may have to change. And you know, you're preaching to inner city blacks, it may be different from preaching to white suburban kids. It's the same mantra, the same process, but the packaging may differ. Ken, yes?
I can often see that, you know, people like criticizing such things. Like, for example, that often they say, okay, Prabhupada gave us everything, you know, Prabhupada gave us time and good distribution, prasad distribution, that is all that they need. And often they like such comments. And a lot of people like criticize Prabhupada Maharaj and such things can.
It requires a strong spiritual qualification. It's not just that anything we do, well, it's in, you know, let a thousand flowers bloom, everybody do their own innovative thing. And pretty soon your movement is nonsense because everyone's figured out something else cuckoo. And Krishna consciousness becomes unrecognizable. Well, maybe if we mixed it with mundane fruit of activity. Well, maybe if we mixed it with mental speculation. Maybe if we mixed it with psychology. Maybe if we mixed it with this. Maybe if we made it pretty soon so mixed that there's nothing left to it. Maybe if we mix it with water. Well, maybe if we mix in some more water. And pretty soon it's all water and no substance. That's a great innovation. Just water it down, water it down, water it down some more until there's nothing left. And predictably, the result of that innovation will be that you'll lose everything. Because your water customers are going to be very few. Mm-hmm. You know, even if the wine was strong and hard to take, some people would like it. And water is just water, and you can get it anywhere. So what do they have to come to you for? Sure, oil is cheaper than ghee. Great idea, we could distribute 10 times as much if we use oil. Mm-hmm. But then your ghee customers are gone. So it requires the direction of the spiritual master. It requires training so that one will know what is what. We talked yesterday about consultation. I may not consult, you know, the bureaucrats, but I should consult someone who's spiritually advanced and able to give me good guidance. Not that everything's in my head. Okay? Okay. Enthusiasm should not be killed. Sangha Tyagas. Notice that this is the second time we're hearing about it. Janasangas chalolyam cha. And now sangha tyaga. Give up. Asat sangha. Asat sangha tyag. And bhakta shanivash. Stay with devotees. This is third canto. Yad yasadhi pati puna shishnodara krito jamai astito ramate jantus tamo visati purvabhat. If the living entity again associates with the path of unrighteousness, influenced by sensually minded people engaged in the pursuit of sexual enjoyment and gratifying the palate, he again goes to hell as before, purvabhat. Tamo visati purvabhat. Satyam shocham daya monam buddhi shrir vir yashat shama samo damo pagas jeti yat sangad yati sangshayam. He becomes devoid of truthfulness, cleanliness, mercy, gravity, spiritual intelligence, shyness, austerity, fame, forgiveness, control of the mind, control of the senses, fortune, and all such opportunities. Yat sangad yati sanshaya. By that association, he loses everything. Tesh vasanteshu mudheshu kanditatmas vasadhusu sangam nakuryach chochyeshu yoshit krita mrigeshu cha. One should not associate with a coarse fool who's bereft of the knowledge of self-realization and who's no more than a dancing dog in the hands of a woman. Yoshit Krita Mrigeshita. He's just a dance. A mriga means an animal, a toy animal. He's a dancing dog in the hands of a woman. Natatasya bhaven moho bandhas janya prasangataha yoshit sangad yatapam so yatatat sangi sangata. The infatuation and bondage which accrue to a man from attachment to any other object is not as complete as that resulting from attachment to a woman or to the fellowship of men who are fond of women. Gives us some idea of what a satsanga is, why we're better off without it. Association of women should be very limited. Those who are in householder life have some license. Brahmacharis, sannyasis should strictly avoid association of women for sense enjoyment. And even in vanaprastha life, the association is very restricted. And even in the householder life, it's restricted. And the association of those who are attached to women, that should really be given up. Asadhushu, Yoshit Krita Mrigeshucha, these people who are like dancing dogs in the hands of women. Asadhu mudheshu, asanteshu, mudheshu, these fools. One should not associate with them. And one should associate with pure devotees. There's another letter from Srila Prabhupada regarding this term. This came up in Gurijan Prabhu's class last night also, about pure devotees. What's a pure devotee? We've read in Nectar of Devotion that one may be even a sadhaka, a beginning devotee, but be pure. He's engaged in pure devotional service. So there was, perhaps you know, there was a group in Hawaii led by one devotee, Siddha Swarup, Ananda Goswami, who was Prabhupada's disciple, still is, he's there. And they were he was a yogi actually, had his own following. And he was a guru, he was a yogi, and he was teaching them to chant Hare Krishna and do Sankirtan. And he surrendered to Prabhupada. He realized that, you know, what am I doing? I should be. So he surrendered to Prabhupada, all his followers joined his kind. But he kept, naturally, there were some people who felt a lot of allegiance to him, who looked up to him and thought of him in a special way. One such devotee was a devotee, Tushta Krishna, and now he's no longer, who was a very capable person in a lot of ways. He Prabhupada liked him. He said he found this Bombay property. He was the one who found Tushta Krishna. Anyway, he was like a right-hand man for Siddhasrupananda. And here's an early letter, 1972, to Tushta Krishna. You speak of pure devotee, that he is Shaktyavesh avatar, that we should obey him only. These things are the wrong idea. If anyone thinks like that a pure devotee should be obeyed and no one else, that means he is a nonsense. We advise everyone to address one another as Prabhu. Prabhu means master. So how the master should be disobeyed? Others, they are also pure devotees. All of my disciples are pure devotees. Anyone sincerely serving the spiritual master is a pure devotee. It may be Siddha Swarup or others, Asiddha Swarup. This must be very clearly stated. It is not only that your Siddha Swarup is a pure devotee and not others. Do not try to make a faction. Siddha Swarup is a good soul, but others should not be misled. Anyone who is surrendered to the spiritual master is a pure devotee. It doesn't matter if Siddha Swarup or non-Siddha Swarup. Amongst ourselves, one should respect others as Prabhu, master, one another. As soon as we distinguish, here is a pure devotee, here is a non-pure devotee, that means I am nonsense. Why you only want to be in the spiritual sky with Siddha Swarup? Why not all? If Siddhasrup can go, why not everyone? Siddhasrup will go, you will go, Shamsundar will go, all others will go. We will have another ISKCON there. Of course, Mr. Nair must stay. So this is a instruction from Srila Prabhupada about association with devotees. Some question. Bhakta Shanevash. Narottam Das Thakur says, Tandera Charana Sevi, let me always serve the lotus feet of the acharyas and Bhakta Shanevash. Be engaged in the association of devotees. Janame Janame More Abhilash. This should be our business. Bhakti Vinod Thakur says, I don't mind if I'm born as a worm, as long as I'm born in the house of a Vaishnav. If I can be a Vaishnav family worm, then it's all right. But not to be in the association of the materialists. So Bhakta Shanevash, association of devotees, automatically means non-association with the non-devotees. Sangha Tyaga is favorable, to give up bad association. Yes?
Mm-hmm. Follow this statement of Baba, really inspiring about the purpose of ISKCON Extreme. The International Society for Krishna Consciousness is opening many centers just to invite people to listen to the company of devotees and practice the regulated principles of spiritual life. It's really nice purpose.
Yeah.
Of why ISKCON is there actually.
Prabhupada, in the original purposes, to bring the members closer to one another and to the prime entity, Krishna. That's was one of his original purposes in the corporate documents of his time. Bring the members closer to one another and closer to Krishna. Krishna is not alone. Krishna is with the devotees. The spiritual master is not alone. He's with the devotees. Satovrite, we're just a few minutes left. Sat vritti means occupation. Sat means good. Here Prabhupada and the previous acharyas have taken satovritti to mean following in the footsteps of the saintly devotees, the previous acharyas. Satovritti. Doing what they, Prabhupada said, used to say, do as I do. You should do as I do. Follow in the footsteps of the saintly persons, then you'll be a saintly person. It doesn't mean to imitate them, but to follow in their footsteps, those who expertly filled every moment of time with Krishna conscious activities. Sadvritti can also mean virtuous saintly conduct. If you follow a saintly person, you'll get virtuous saintly conduct. And Prabhupada quotes, Yas yasti bhaktir bhagavat chakinchana sarvayar gunaistatra samasate sudha. All the good qualities of the demigods develop within a person who takes up pure devotional service. On the transcendental platform, there's no contamination by the three modes of material nature. This is called Vishuddha Sattva, the platform of pure goodness, goodness free from contamination by the qualities of passion and ignorance. And then Prabhupada says we require everyone to rise early in the morning, attend Mangalarti, read Srimad Bhagavatam, perform kirtan, and so on. We hold continuous activities in devotional service 24 hours daily. This is called satovritti, following in the footsteps of the previous acharyas, who expertly filled every moment of time with Krishna conscious activities. Prabhupada mentions also there are lots of good, there may be many good qualities among fruitive actors, philosophical speculators, mystic yogis, but all good qualities automatically develop in the character of a devotee. No extraneous endeavor is needed. Because a devotee is not interested in any material activity, he does not become materially contaminated, he develops the good qualities, but one who engages in mundane activity, a jnani, yogi, karmi, philanthropist, nationalist, whatever, can't attain the higher stage of mahatma. He remains duratma, a cripple-minded person. So in this way, we should be enthusiastic about Krishna consciousness, confident about the philosophy and the practice and the goal, patient and determined, and follow the regulative principles, give up bad association, follow in the footsteps of the acharyas, shantir bhaktir prasiddhiti. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur points out that in the beginning of the verse you get attitudes to be enthusiastic, to be confident, to be patient, utsaha, nishchaya, tariyat, and the next part of the verse you get practical activities, tat tat karma pravartana, sangha tyaga, sato vritti. In the first half is, you know, how you look at things, your attitude, and the second half is what you do. So it's not, as Prabhupada said, again, it's not just sentimental something, it's not just idly sitting down, it's not just feeling good about yourself, but it's having the right attitude, enthusiasm, patience, determination, confidence, and the right program of activities. Four regulative principles, 16 rounds, getting up early in the morning, attending the Mangal Arti, hearing the Bhagavatam, seeing the deity. All those items that we read about in devotional service, that, and those activities will foster enthusiasm, determination, confidence. The two will work together. My positive attitude, my correct attitude, or my favorable attitude will help me in all my practical activities, and these proper practical activities will help me in my enthusiasm, my confidence, and so on. And the bell has rung. Time is gone. Yes? This is an administrative announcement, yes. I can tell. I see it coming from a mile away.
No, there's revision exercise for
revision exercise. That means a review exercise,
yes,
right? Revision is local code language for what in America we call review. Revision in our part of the world is what you do when you've got a document and you want it to look different.
Yeah.
You revise it. A revision exercise. I love revision exercise. You get them in my editing class. But anyway, it's a revision exercise. Or if you come from our part of the world, it's review. Anyway, they're exercises. Practical activity in the service of the Lord. It's not all your positive attitude. You've got to do some hard work.
We don't have it from the store. I don't know what it is.
It's something that gets handed out and people do?
Hand out.
Okay, so you'll get...
So you're not aware of it?
I'm absolutely... I'm vaguely aware of it, but I'm not aware of any documents in hand that I'm supposed to give out. So the... maybe tomorrow the documents will meet us and we'll give them out. Okay. You all have something to look forward to. Thank you all very much.